Will it be party time in Cleveland, or can the Cubs extend the World Series? Game 5 of the Fall Classic on Sunday night. Indians holding a 3-1 lead as they send Trevor Bauer to the mound, his first career World Series start. He faces the Fall Classic veteran John Lester, who makes his fifth World Series start. Early on, the Cubs ace lefty looked untouchable.
Lester. Got it. So Lester trying to come through for the Cubs. Statement made.
Curveball got him. Lester strikes out all three.
Here's a pop-up right side. Foul ball. Will it stay in play? Ross is there, and he gets an assist.
Right there. See that camera? That probably gave him a little bit of a reach, and here comes his partner in crime.
That happened in a World Series game back in about 1980.
Two out, nobody on, and Jose Ramirez steps in. Waits for the 0-1. And hits one a ton into left. Back at the wall. It is good. And the Indians strike first in game number 5. When you ask Terry Francona about Jose Ramirez, he says he's just made himself a great hitter. And after a terrific regular season, he has stayed hot in the postseason.
Fly ball, shallow right, slicing foul.
Here is Hayward. Made the catch. And even Bauer has to smile at that. He climbed the wall and had to reach behind him.
He was prepared to go on the stands. You see him reach up and come back and get it. The Cubs know that those guys are a moment away from getting in. You've got to put something on the board right here.
Fly ball, deep left center field, back toward the wall. He's got a chance. Gone!
That's what you do with a fastball in the middle of the plate. You hit a line drive rocket over the 368. Side and left center, and it comes around the board.
This place is shaking. First and third, nobody out.
Addison Russell at the plate.
Left side, here comes Rizzo. No play at the plate, everybody's safe. 2-1.
David wants something up and out. The Indians are gonna try to roll something soft and get him to roll over.
High fly ball to left. That sends Santana back, tagging his Zobrist. Another run, it's 3-1.
Roberto Perez, the catcher, and Coco Crisp is on deck. There we go, the pitch. Perez, a bouncer to short. Moving to his left is Russell. Lots of time. Strong throw. Inning over.
That's into center. This ball is down. That's a base hit. It's a one-run game. In to score is Davis. It's 3-2. Lindor delivers with two out.
Cubs 3, Indians 2, sixth inning, two down. The runner goes, the pitch outside, the throw by Ross, and the tag, he's out.
Great throw, David Ross. Lindor caught stealing. The inning comes to an end.
Well, there's a lot going on here in the seventh inning. Those two veterans, such good friends, battery mates, David Ross and John Lester, a hug. 90 pitches tonight.
One ball and two strikes on Perez. And the big left-hander fires. Ground ball to second base. Baez has it, throws to first. The inning is over. Chapman gets out of it. So now the tying run 90 feet away. And here it comes. Strike three call. Lindor caught looking.
Chapman did not bat for the Cubs this season. Cubs by one. A strikeout ends the inning.
Indians down to their last strike. Chapman brings it. Swing and a miss. And there will be a game 6.
The Cubs edge the Indians 3-2 as they stay alive in the World Series. The Indians will bring a 3-2 series lead back to Cleveland for game 6 on Tuesday. Aroldis Chapman records a career-high 8-out save, and his 42 pitches were too shy of his career high, which also came against the Indians last season. Don Lester turns in six strong innings to improve to 4-1 in five career World Series starts. The Indians lose for the first time in nine games this postseason when scoring first. For more on the Cubs' 3-2 victory in Game 5, here's MLB.com's Jeff Nelson from Wrigley Field.
During the postseason, guys are asked to do more than what they're used to during the regular season. That's exactly what Joe Maddon asked of Aroldis Chapman. Give me more than three outs. Well, he gave him eight outs. Chapman goes into the seventh inning with a runner on second base with only one out, gets out of that jam, goes on and pitches two more innings for the save and saves the Cubs' hopes to go on to a Game 6. Total for Chapman, 2 2/3, one hit, four strikeouts. The last guy to get eight outs for the save in a World Series, not a reliever, his starter, Madison Bumgarner. Game 7 of the San Francisco Giants against the Royals in 2014 World Series. Cubs go on to Game 6, head to Cleveland.
Both John Lester and Aroldis Chapman brought their A games in Game 5, and not surprisingly, it led to a Cubs victory to send the World Series back to Cleveland. Here's MLB.com's Tim McMaster and Jack Morris on Chicago's dynamic duo.
With their season on the line, the Cubs sent their ace to the hill, and John Lester comes through with a win in Game 5 of the World Series. Tim McMaster here along with Jack Morris, and he set the tone, I thought, in the first inning. He strikes out the side, but then once the Cubs got the lead, he got a shutdown inning as well.
Yeah, and a win-or-go-home day, he has the weight of all Cubs fans, the hope of all Cubs fans on his shoulder, taking the mound, and he goes out there in the first inning, strikes out the side. I think that just kind of got this crowd back into it. John Lester was magnificent. He really pitched a whale of a game. They get him the three runs, and then he has probably his toughest inning as soon as they score three runs for him, but he gets a guy stranded at third base who got on with second base. And ultimately, it was just an outstanding job. Gets deeper into the game the way that Joe Maddon hoped he would.
And Joe Maddon goes and gets him after six innings, just 90 pitches. And because of that, they end up going with Aroldis Chapman for an eight-out save. We haven't seen that since 2014 when Madison Bumgarner did it.
Well, you know, both these managers, Timmy, I think are trying to updo each other, and they both have great closers and great bullpens, and Chapman, of course, is the ace or the bullpen for the Cubs, and you know, I think it's a case where when you got to win, what do? You go with your best, and that's what he did. He was able to get the eight outs. He really got stronger, I thought, in the ninth inning than he did when he came in the game in the seventh.
The Cubs flashed plenty of leather in Game 5, particularly in foul ground. Here's Tim and Jack once again on the Cubs' outstanding defensive effort in their Game 5 win.
If you're going to get back in a series down 3-1, you need a little bit of luck. You need things to go your way, and that certainly happened for the Cubs in Game 5 here at Wrigley Field. Tim McMaster along with Jack Morris, they played great defense. They're the best defensive team in baseball all season long. It really showed tonight. Anthony Rizzo in the middle of it, and a little luck on a tip drill in the second inning.
You know, Tim, up until this point, it looked like most of the breaks were going Cleveland's way, but in this game, defense kind of got him going too. Lester pitched obviously very well, but you got to have the good defense behind you. Rizzo made a couple nice plays. He stayed with the one where Ross bobbled it a little bit, and in the second inning was able to react to the ball. That was a big out at the time, and then he makes a couple nice plays at first base. It was just a good defensive game all around for the Cubs.
So that was them shining in the infield. As far as the outfield goes, Jason Hayward's a guy who obviously hasn't had the type of season he wanted to with the big contract. He gets on base tonight. Yeah. He does a nice job at the plate. But what a catch he made out in right field.
You know, sometimes defense can stimulate your offense, and he was out there doing everything he can. He wanted to take control out there, made a great catch out in the ivy there, and then gets a hit his next at bat. So maybe the funk that he's in is maybe lifted a little bit. He might play a little more relaxed as they go into Cleveland.
It'll be Jake Arrieta on the mound for the Cubs in Game 6 as he is opposed by Josh Tomlin. With a Game 6 preview, here's Tim and Jack once again.
The 2016 World Series is headed back to Cleveland as the Cubs take care of business with a 3-2 win here at Wrigley Field in Game 5. Tim McMaster along with Jack Morris, they have life. They head back to Cleveland, and momentum's a funny thing how quickly it can turn.
It truly is, and they're set up well with their starting pitches. Jake Arrieta is going to take the mound in Game 6 against Josh Tomlin. Tomlin pitched well. Arrieta beat Bauer. He doesn't face Bauer again, who has lost the two games that the Cubs have won. And you know, I think it's going to be another classic pitching matchup. Both managers are going to try to get him through five or six innings, and then it'll be up to the bullpen again.
Tomlin did such an unbelievable job here at Wrigley with the wind blowing out in Game 3 to get the Indians that victory. But he's going on short rest now. Arrieta full strength. We knew this would be a factor if we got late into this series. Does it matter? I know Tomlin didn't throw a ton of pitches in Game 3.
I don't think it's going to matter. Adrenaline really does take over. It sounds like the weather is going to be good in Cleveland. He's had back-to-back really good starts for the Indians. And you know, I think his breaking ball is his go-to pitch. As long as he can command his pitches, and typically on short rest, you feel like you have better command and less velocity. So, you know, in those kind of games, adrenaline takes over. I have no problem with Tomlin with 3 days rest.
There were some promising signs for the struggling Cubs offense in Game 5, though they were kept off the board in 7 of their 8 offensive innings overall. With more on the Cubs' offensive performance, here's Tim McMaster with Jeff Nelson.
You had a feeling if the Cubs were going to get themselves back into the 2016 World Series, they would need a lift from the possible National League Most Valuable Player, Chris Bryant. He did just that in Game 5. Tim McMaster here, along with Jeff Nelson. And Chris Bryant, team down 1-0 in the fourth. He struggled so much. Laser shot into left field.
Yeah, it was the second time around the lineup, and you knew if Bauer could get through the top three with Bryant and then Rizzo and Zobrist, he might cruise through that inning. Got a fastball. Bryant got a fastball. He's able to handle a mislocated fastball. He ties the game, and it was all about that fourth inning. And then back-to-back, how about Rizzo hitting that ball? Looked like it could have been caught. Hit off the ivy for a double. And then you had Zobrist with a single. The key there right there was Baez with a key bunt to load the bases with only one out.
Yeah, that allowed David Ross to come up and come through with a sacrifice, flying his final Major League at-bat possibly, and that was the third run for this team. So an offensive performance, it's not like they put up 7-8 runs, but they score 3, they win. How much does that give them a lift mentally heading to Cleveland?
Well, it is. I mean, if you look at the last 3 games of the NLCS when they just broke out offensively against the Dodgers, you thought that was going to roll over to the World Series. It didn't. They got shut out twice. And next thing you know, in a Game 5, a must-win to try to send this to a Game 6, just enough in that fourth inning. They really didn't have any offensive breakouts, but it was the pitching getting out of key jams. But they got enough. Their middle of the lineup finally came through, and Bryant, Rizzo, and Zobrist. And in the key, how about, let's you mention, Ross with the sacrifice fly. His last game of his career at Wrigley Field, a great moment. That was a deciding run.
Aroldis Chapman came through big time with a career-high 8-out save, and his 42 pitches, just 2 pitches shy of his career high. Here's Joe Maddon on the efforts of his veteran fireballer.
You've seen a lot of that during the course of the playoffs. It's something you can't normally do during the season without beating somebody up too badly. But I talked to Chappie before the game. He was aware of being ready in the 7th inning. So we had that all in play. Johnny did a great job. I just felt in talking to him that it was the right time to get him out. You know, he was pushing pretty hard there to get those outs with the base runners, et cetera. So before the game, it was my intention to use CJ as a bridge if we can to get to Chappie. He's kind of fresh. He hasn't been overused in the last part of the season nor throughout the playoffs. So again, with him, like a lot of relief pitchers, late inning relief pitchers, you want to talk in advance of the moment. We did. So he was definitely aware of what may happen tonight.
Chris Bryant had been nearly invisible in the first 4 games of the World Series, but he broke through in the bottom of the fourth as he led off the frame with a game-tying homer against Trevor Bauer. Here is the young slugger on that big home run and on the team's offensive performance overall in Game 5.
Yeah, their guy was kind of cruising a little bit through the first 3, I think. So, it was nice to kind of have a big inning there, kind of get us going a little bit. And I felt like our at-bats, you know, after that inning were just as good. So that's a good sign for us. I feel like as a team, guys are, you know, throwing us more curveballs. I don't know. I don't look into the stats. I don't know if we hit curveballs well, but, I mean, if they keep throwing them, obviously we don't. But, I mean, certain teams, you know, are always going to pitch you differently, but nothing too crazy, you know, from team to team this postseason.
Even someone as young as Addison Russell understands the importance of situational hitting and quality at-bats here in the postseason.
Thing is, you know, whenever we get people on base and we don't have any outs and we take some good approaches, some good at-bats in those situations and we get people on, I think that we're a threat, you know. You look down the lineup, we got people that could put up great at-bats through the whole lineup. If you put the ball in play, you know, you have a better chance, obviously. I think tonight a lot of people's approaches was, you know, just to put the ball in play.
With six innings of two-run ball, John Lester does what he does in the World Series, and that has come through big time for his team, as Lester is now 4-1 in five career World Series starts.
Well, I mean, actually, I told Boz after that six, I'd been kind of grinding for the last couple innings. So, you know, just from pitch one, knowing kind of the circumstances and what was going on, you know, I had to be perfect from pitch one. Had to execute, couldn't make mistakes. You know, really the homer that I gave up was really good pitch. The guy, you know, put a good swing on. So it had been a grind. You know, the two previous innings leading up to the sixth, and you know, I told them, and they were like, "Hey, you're going to go batter to batter," and I just, for me, my whole thought process behind that is why not just give our guys a clean inning? You know, why let me go out and face a guy that you know, if I give up a hit or a walk or whatever, you're going to pull me anyway, and now, you know, you put him in a situation. So, you know, I left it up to Joe, and Joe made a decision, and that was the decision. So, I'm happy it worked out for us.